What's up, everyone? Eddie Mercado here with BloodyElbow.com, and I'm about to speak with Uncle Creepy, Ian McCall, as he is set to take on Justin Scoggins at UFC 201 from Atlanta, Georgia on July 30th. So we're going to give him a call and find out what he's been up to as of late. Last time we saw him was a unanimous decision loss to John Lineker at UFC 183 back in January of 2015. So let's find out what he's been up to, what he has going on, how his training's going, if there's any nagging injuries that he wants to talk about. So let's see what he has to say.
Hello.
Uncle Creepy.
What up, man?
What's going on? Eddie Mercado here with Bloody Elbow. How are you?
Doing good, just driving.
Driving. I hope you're on speakerphone or something, not using the device.
Yes, Bluetooth.
Okay.
I have a very smart, high-powered car that lets me beam your voice to my car so I don't have to kill people while I drive.
Oh, awesome, awesome. That is definitely a benefit, for sure. Now,
I really want to get one of those self-driving Teslas so I can fall asleep and do whatever I want while I drive, but can't quite really afford one yet, so give me a few months.
A few months? Okay. Now, you're 13-5, 2-3-1 inside of the UFC, which I feel like is the most deceptive record of anybody in the UFC. Like,
yeah.
It's insane to me. Like, I don't understand it. I feel like, I don't know, you've kind of been involved in a lot of close decisions. Now, why do you think that is? Why are you in so many close battles?
Because I haven't been mentally sound since my, first UFC fight. So I've just been, my head just has always gotten the best of me, and it's not about UFC jitters or octagon, fear of fighting in front of people. I really enjoy that part of it. It's just mentally, I haven't been able to really pull the trigger all that well. I mean, Brad Pickett, I was good. When I went to Brazil and fought Santos, that was good. The first Demetrius fight. So, I mean, basically half my fights, I've let my brain get the best of me because of outside stuff.
Okay. Now, I mean, do you think, personally, did you win that first Mighty Mouse fight?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Because, I mean, I personally thought you had won it. And then the second fight.
I got fucked pretty hard.
The second fight was pretty close as well. I mean, what are your thoughts on the second fight with DJ?
The second fight, I feel like he won. He won fair and square. After that first fight, I completely fell apart mentally because of just stuff that was going on at home. Or, you shouldn't let that stuff affect you. But I did, and I do. It's with me, it's always like women problems. I don't know if it's self-sabotage or what, but, he won that fight. Let's say we waited at 4 o'clock or whatever it was. By midnight that night, I was 152.2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't taking care of myself physically, mentally. I was a mess. So I lost that fight fair and square. So, that's how it goes.
Okay, now, you had one fight in 2014 and one fight in 2015. Now, is that injury related?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what kind of injuries have you been dealing with? I mean, I know you've talked about you've had hand injuries in the past that have been nagging you. Is it related to that?
I broke my hand in Brazil with Santos. And, I've on that same hand, I broke it so badly, I have had three surgeries. and my hand is deformed. It doesn't close. It doesn't open. So yeah, that was an ongoing thing. But I also tore my hip and my groin real bad. And then, so let's see here. I had a torn hip and groin. I had 3 surgeries on my hand, and then I had a fight in between there, 2 fights in between there, and then I tore everything in my shoulder.
Oh, wow.
The last injury that I had, the last surgery that I had was my shoulder. It was a fully torn bicep tendon, 2 labral tears, and a fully torn rotator cuff, and a partially torn bicep muscle. So I just, wow. It wasn't good.
That's a lot of injuries, man. That's a lot to deal with. It sounds like you had a lot of recovery time, and I don't want to say downtime, but a lot of just extra time that you can't be training. So, I mean, what have you been doing to fill that time?
Well, I mean, when I had my hand surgeries, I was able to train.
Okay.
When I had my hip and groin, I didn't have surgery on it, even though I could have, and I'm sure I'll need a fake hip one day. But you know, I always do something outside of it, you know. I got really into yoga. I really like yoga. That's helped me. It helps me feel good. You know, a lot of strength conditioning stuff. Just you know, different types of workout to keep me busy. But with the shoulder, I wasn't able to do anything besides coach for. You know, like 8 months, probably, maybe longer. I literally wasn't able to do anything for 8 months because my shoulder was such a mess. And you know, I was gonna retire. I had given up probably 4 months ago. I was over it. I was like, okay, I'm done. This isn't working. Even though I'm training, my arm's not working. And you know, it still gives me a lot of problems. But you know. I was already used to fighting one-handed because my hand wasn't working, so now I just have an arm that doesn't work.
Now, are you still scheduled to fight Justin Scoggins on July 30th?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you feel health-wise? You feel how close to 100% do you feel?
With all things considered, I feel great. You know, again, my arm doesn't work. All that well. Because I also have 2 bulging discs in my neck that affect that arm, of course, and I also fractured and dislocated that elbow back in high school. So that arm, it's just an arm. That's the bad side, I guess. I mean, it still works. I can still beat the shit out of people with it, so it just is always in pain or burning or numb or whatever. So you learn to work around things. You learn to just deal with pain. You know, if I do get injury, injuries, it's kind of silly. You like, talk to a doctor, like, oh, you know, I popped my knee or I popped my elbow or I did this. Well, on a scale from 1 to 10, and I'm like, take that heel and, you know, fucking sew up with it. I don't know. It just hurts. I know if it hurts, it's probably not a good thing. So you become comfortable with pain and you know, it's never going to go away. I'm going to need a fake hip one day. I'll probably need more shoulder stuff and neck stuff and back stuff. And I'm sure I'll break other stuff in my life. So you just kind of become comfortable with it.
Okay. Now, man, that sounds horrible. I'm not going to lie. That sounds like a whole lot of uncomfortableness and pain that you have to deal with on a day-to-day.
That's why I chose this.
Yeah. So where are you training at for this fight?
Kimoyama, same place I've been at for 12, 13 years.
Okay. Now, do you have to do like any kind of special training to kind of work around your injuries?
No.
You just play through it?
Yeah. I mean, I what else am I going to do? You know, I don't have a fucking choice. So, and I'm not going to, you know, my training, I guess, in my old age has become very, very smart. It's it's about, you know, like I just read that article where Eddie Alvarez was like, overtraining's, you know, bullshit. Well, congratulations on becoming champ. Like, good job. Proud of you. But saying that makes you sound like a fucking idiot. Like, you can't overtrain. And I'm a perfect example. It's my feeble body, but it breaks, you know, so, and that's from overtraining. That creates tough people, and that's how we were raised. I get it. But there's this little thing called science, and, you know, I use it to my benefit because I'm smart, and my coaches are smart. And, you know, I had to personally take a very intelligent approach to it because I can't break. If I break again, I quit. Like, I promised my daughter, I promised my family that, you know, I've had 7 parts of my body worked on surgically in the last 3 years. Mm. And I tore my hip, my groin, and I popped my knee, and, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff. So, those are things that, you know, I have to take into consideration where, you know, I wake up every morning and I put this monitor on my heart, my hand, and my forehead, and it gives me a full readout of my systems for the day, for endurance, strength and power, and speed, and coordination, and skill, like resting heart rate. My resting heart rate is like 34, by the way.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 34? It's a little too low sometimes. Like, my coaching and doctor staff wanted around 40, which it was this morning. But, you know, everything, all my coaches talk. It's not like I go separate places. Everything's in-house. Okay. I've helped build a system here at my gym. You know, we're in paradise. Orange County is one of the nicest places on the planet. And I've been everywhere. And you have everything in your fingertips here. It's beautiful. You know, there's lots of stuff to do, and it's awesome. I mean, some of the people are shitty, because whatever, but, you know, all my coaches are in-house. My strength conditioning coach sits next to my, you know, main coach, Colin Ayama, with next to my, you know, jiu-jitsu, you know, staff, you know, and those guys talk to my doctors, and you know, that, like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we do, because we're just trying to keep me on point. And they know, I know how to fight. You know, I know technically, everyone knows I'm better than everybody else. You know, like, it's just getting me on point physically to build a good, you know, aerobic base, anaerobic base, and then also to make sure I don't fall into the same traps I usually fall into, like, you know, women and partying.
Yeah. I mean, women are—they're a hell of a temptation, a hell of a distraction. I can attest to that. But
yeah, man, that's a motherfucker. But that's my own fault. That's what I get for sticking my dick in everything that moves.
So let me ask you this, though. So I mean, like you're saying, your skill set is just phenomenal. I mean, your footwork phenomenal. Your wrestling is phenomenal. Your Muay Thai phenomenal. I mean, you have everything is in place. So, I mean, what is it really going to take for you to actually, you know, stay healthy, get your body in a good place, and conquer the internal demons and get the mind right, and then, you know, stake your claim at the top of the flyweight division where I feel like you belong?
The time is now. I mean, I talk about being kind of a mental midget because I am a cautionary tale. Like, I like to tell people that I am a cautionary tale. Look how fucking talented I am, and look what I, you know, things I should have. I'm the only guy that lays claim to actually beating Demetrius at this weight, and he's the best pound for pound guy on the planet.
Yeah,
you know, and I have personally taken a step back from making fun of Demetrius because that's what I'm good at, and talking shit because the guy doesn't get any respect. He doesn't get paid even nearly enough. He doesn't get respect from fans. And he's better than everybody else. You know, everyone... As a gifted athlete, John Jones is the greatest. John Jones is the most physically gifted person on the probably to ever grace fighting. But Shocker, he's a giant piece of shit. He's a horrible person who is just, you know, he needs to fuck off and go away. Because, you know, he lets everyone down again. The guy has done, he's been caught for at least, a whole spectrum of bad shit. And people somehow are still behind the guy. It's like, no, fuck it. You know, but let's praise Demetrius. Good family man who works his ass off and just picks apart everybody. You know, like, why aren't we praising this guy? Oh, we praise Conor because Conor's, you know, a great champion. Yeah, he is a great champion. But he's nowhere near the champion Demetrius is. Nowhere near.
What do you think it is about Demetrius? Is it just that he's so just kind of keeps to himself? He doesn't really talk trash? I mean, what do you think it is exactly?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, people love seeing that stuff, and they don't appreciate the sport yet enough. People see from our, you know, stupid monkey brains, they see a big buff guy with, you know, and another big buff guy standing across from him, and then two big heavyweights run at each other, and they're 6'4 and 260 pounds, you know, and they run at each other and punch and kick, and someone falls over, and the crowd screams.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, yay, you know, like that, yay, we saw what we wanted to see. They're not educated enough on the matter. And I don't want to speak ill of them, but they're not educated enough.
Right.
You know, they don't see the technicalities that go on, all the different aspects that is part of a Demetrius Johnson fight or a flyweight fight or a lot of fights for that matter.
Well, you know,
I don't want
to. It's really going to have to go through kind of a phase of this, though, where the spectacle is what's going to draw in the mainstream audience, but then that is going to bring in eyes towards your hyper-technical guys, such as Demetrius Johnson. And then over time, we will start to see the majority of fans appreciate the true skill sets, regardless of the weight division, just like we saw in boxing, where you know, it used to be the big heavyweights were the draw, and then now it's Floyd Mayweather, super technical, is the best boxer. So
yeah, I was going to bring up that exact thing. I mean, you have your heavyweights, and then once it really hit TV, you know, with like a Mike Tyson, because there was Muhammad Ali, you know, and you know, probably one of, you know, if not the one of the greatest people to ever grace this planet, you know. He, and obviously rest in peace. I shed a tear when that happened. Just because he was such an amazing person, you know. But then you had the Mike Tysons, and you know, and Mike went away. After that, no one gave a shit. And then now you have Tyson Fury versus Klitschko. And granted, okay, Klitschko is very technically good, but he's still a kind of a plodding heavyweight. It's boring. You know, I think he would have the longest heavyweight reign of anybody in history, right? And then you have, you know, the Jibbo King, Tyson Fury, who's fat and gross and awkward and just is like kind of, I think he's hilarious. I like him. But, you know, people are like, this is a fucking joke. When they actually started to appreciate the Oscar De La Hoyas and the, you know, the Canelos and you know, all the other, like, amazing, you know, fighters, the Chavez's, and then you got the, you know, it came down. Now you have Floyd, and sure, people hate Floyd for his persona. Well, guess what? Floyd's a fucking really cool guy. Like, Floyd is a very, very, very nice guy. Like, he tricked you, gotcha, I made all that fucking money on you people because you wanted to watch him get knocked unconscious. But now you have the Golovkins, and now you have like Chocolatito, and people are starting to pay attention to him. And that guy fights at, what, 122 pounds? 118 pounds? What is it?
Yeah, he's a light guy.
And Chocolatito is the best pound for a boxer around, by far. You know, if you watch everything he does, it is incredible. And I'm a huge boxing fan. You know, he is so good, and you know, so it's transition, and eventually the fans of the MMA fans, they'll get there. They will. I have faith. Obviously, I'll be long gone by then. But you know, it's going to take a while. And I think with, you know, the internet and with TV and everything going on and how much the UFC is on TV, that will speed up the evolution of, and the education process immensely, you know, a hundredfold.
Yeah. But you know what? I also think that there might be another kind of phase shift happening where once the public kind of becomes a little more educated and the sport starts to grow a lot more and starts paying their fighters a lot more, then we're going to start seeing the true super heavyweights come in, like the super athletes, your NFL players, your NBA players.
Yes.
And at that point, it will go from the who's the most technical to then again, who's the most athletic. And then it'll kind of go back to who's the more technical once everyone becomes kind of, you know, once the athleticism kind of plateaus and everyone's kind of on the same playing field, like in the NFL or the NBA, then it will get back to the skill sets. But I think it's just kind of like a, you know, there's troughs and valleys, peaks and valleys kind of thing with it. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's very true. It is. And, you know, I have a radio show on Dash Radio every Wednesday from 5 to 7 on the Hot Button Channel. It's called American Animals. It's me and my friend Eric Apple. And we had Sean Merriman on this week. And
oh,
then
wow.
We had Terrell Owens on the other couple weeks ago. These are friends of mine.
Okay.
And you look at the most athletic people on the fucking planet, you know? Those dudes are in a different realm of athleticism.
Right.
You know, like, right now MMA gets the fallout. You know, they get the guys that weren't good enough.
Right, right.
And those guys are still incredible athletes. So, like you said, we're going to one day get the cream of the crop because the money will be there, and it's going to be an exciting time. I mean, I can't wait.
Yeah, it sucks that we have to go through that kind of spectacle phase, though, of, you know, just freak show fights and you know, we're getting like CM Punk, and I mean, no disrespect to CM Punk, but he is not a fighter, you know, but he's bringing in a mainstream audience with him, you know, so it's like it's a spectacle thing. It has nothing to do with the sport outside of just bringing eyes to it.
Yeah, but that's what we need. As much as I think the whole situation with CM Punk is ridiculous and dangerous and stupid, and nothing against him, he's a really nice guy. Like I met him. I mean, incredibly nice. And I know a lot of wrestlers. I'm dating a former wrestler. It's Ryan Shamrock from way back in the day. Her real name's Alicia, but yeah, she was in the WWE at like 19, and now she's 38, 37. How old is she? But you know, so I'm around a lot of wrestlers, and it's nothing against him. It's the situation itself is fucked, and I get it, but it's gonna bring attention. And sure, go back to boxing. How long ago? It was a spectacle. It's like
yeah.
A carnival act, you know. So it wasn't. You know, it wasn't always boxing. It was weird. You know, it was different. It was fringe. It was looked down upon. I guess it still is in some places. So eventually we'll have our day, and I'm proud to have earned the right to say that I've helped pave the way for that. You know, and you know, with the internet and with all that stuff. I will see that day that those guys are making money. Fuck, hopefully I'm coaching a few of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're building a team. I already coached, you know, very, very good athletes. And we, you know, we have a fighter house. We've got everything, you know. So I had a conversation with my coach not too long ago. And he said, where do you want to be in 10 years? And I was like, well, I'm going to be standing next to you. Because I got no place else to go, man. I bailed on my education. You know, I could have got a degree. I probably should have, but I didn't. You know, because I wanted to be a fighter. And not the degrees or everything, but, you know, with the people I know and with the friends I have, a degree would get me a job probably making really good fucking money right off the bat. But, you know, who cares? This is my life. This is what I want to do, and I never wanted to be emotionally invested in fighters, in people. Like, to see what my coach has been through and all that stuff. I never wanted to be this, you know, emotionally invested with young athletes who, most of the time, will let you down, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, fighters are very, you know, we're interesting characters. And how many of us turn out to be great? You know, how many guys turn to drugs or into, barely in and out of the gym and you got to deal with them? Like, I see the stuff my coach goes through, and it's crazy. And, you know, how many kids can you have that you breed into champions? But, you know, this is what I'm good at, so that's what I'm going to do. And again, I'm a cautionary tale, so if I can impart my wisdom on some young, you know, savages that can become world champions or even close to it. You know, making it to the UFC isn't good enough for me. You know, I wasn't here to make it to the UFC, and my fighters, it's not good enough to make it to the UFC. You gotta, you know, work your ass off and get as close to a title as possible, if not get one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you've done just that in your career. And how much do you think you have left in the tank?
I don't know. To be honest, I mean, I gave up a few months ago. And then my arm started to work, and I was like, fuck yeah, we're in. We're back. I'm a fighter. If I could fight for 5-10 more years, I'd love to do it. But that's not probably going to happen. You know, I'm sure I have... I'll give myself till 35, which I've said for a long time, and then I'll evaluate things. You know, the one tipping point is if I break again. If I break again and I need another surgery, I'm done. You know, I'm done and I'm not coming back. I've got enough irons in the fire in my life as far as, first and foremost, being a dad. I'm a very proud father, and you know, I raised my kid on my own for a long time, you know, and granted, now I'm not on my own, so it's, you know, it gives me time to breathe. You know, like, my whole UFC career, I've been raising a kid on my own. Like, that's another thing that people don't, I would never use, because change it for the world. My daughter's my everything. But you know, financially, business wise, all that stuff, I'm gonna be just fine. Okay. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I've got a podcast, a radio show, I have Therapy Cryo Salon, which is a cryo and hyperbaric and chiropractic office. Like, and I'm building a facility where I can put all the things that I like to do, like cryo, like hyperbaric chambers, like float tanks and chiropractics and massage and all this place where I can go and recover. I can go and feel better physically because these things really work. And sure, some of them are a fad, and I can interchange things. But you know, I opened up, you know, a couple months ago, and we're looking to expand. You know, I want to start pushing all this, but. Just things like that. I'm always doing stuff. You know, I'm always got my hand in some sort of business. I started a new clothing company the other day, and I was like, okay, you know, I've got 50% of that now. So it's just certain things like that get thrown at me all day long, and I like fielding more than one at a time.
Hey, I respect it. You gotta have more than one hustle. I always say that. But
yeah, exactly.
Man, Ian McCall, thank you so much for talking with me. I didn't mean to take up so much of your time. Why don't you tell us where we can find you? How can people follow you on Twitter and other social media platforms?
Everything is Uncle Creepy MMA on Snapchat. It's Uncle Creepy MMA 1. And my podcast is Storytime with Uncle Creepy. It's on iTunes. My radio show is on Dash Radio with Eric Bad Apple. It's every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Hot Button channel. It's called American Animals. That's two American Animals. The number two on all social media because someone had taken American Animals. if you want to come down by the shop, like I said, Cryotherapy, Therapy Cryo Salon in Big Forest. If you want to come by the gym and let me kick you in the face, it's Timo Yama in Irvine.
Awesome. Ian McCall, a true pioneer of the sport. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking out the time. I'm a huge fan, and I definitely look forward to seeing you compete again inside of the Octagon.
No worries, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
Yes.
There you'll have it. Uncle Creepy Ian McCall, as he is set to take on Justin Scoggins at UFC 201 on July 30th. 2016. So check that out. Go find him on his podcast. Go check him out on his radio show. If you're near him in California, go check out his cryotherapy and float tanks and all that stuff. And yeah, you can read me on bloodyelbow.com. You can find me on Twitter at the Eddie Mercado. And go be a good person, maybe. I don't know.